We are in Colossians chapter 3 today, looking at verse 17. It's one of those verses that I would encourage you to memorize simply because it's a verse that we should live by, every single one of us. If you have little ones in your home, maybe you could help them memorize this passage of Scripture. Maybe you have grandkids that come into your home often. You could help them work on this verse. I think it would be a wonderful thing if we would fill our hearts, our homes, our family, our church with Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Would you read this verse with me, please, together? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. What if we really took that verse seriously? It would make a difference in our life, wouldn't it? Keep in mind, this is a part of the rooted life in Jesus. As we grow deeper into Him, this is how we should be living. Instead of just spouting off with our mouth or reacting adversely to people and to circumstances, we should be careful that every word and every deed be honorable to our Lord Jesus. Let me read this verse to you from the New Living Translation. It says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Think about this. We are to be a representative of Jesus to the world. And so my encouragement to each of you today would be that you be His representative in your home. Be His representative at your workplace. Be His representative as you go to the coffee shop or to the ballpark this summer. If you go to the sale barn, be His representative there. If you have a school reunion, be His representative at that school reunion. If you have a family reunion, be His representative there to your family. Wherever you go, be His representative. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I can't think of anyone better to be a representative of than Jesus Himself. He's the one who stepped into our place on the cross, making it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. He is the Son of God, He is the risen Lord, and He calls us to be His representative. Today we are honoring our graduates. I would like to give a challenge to each of our graduates that you go out into the world and be His representative. Whether you go straight to college or you go straight into the workforce, whether you stay close to home or whether you go somewhere far away, may you be His representative. The world needs to see Jesus in you. Let me ask you, each of us, what would that look like for the world to see Jesus in us? Every word, every deed, to His glory and honor. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all into the glory of God." And so you see, this is a scripture that appears more than once in the Bible. It's there several times. Colossians 3:17, 1 Corinthians 10:31, another scripture that comes to mind that's very much along the same line as this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, where Paul said this, "For to me to live is Christ." We're to be all about Him rather than all about ourselves. And so again, I ask you, what would that look like? What would it look like in your life, in my life, if every deed, every word is to His glory and to His honor? One thing, as I'm trying to put this in my mind of Colossians 3:17 and tying that in with being like Jesus, I think there would be words of encouragement rather than words that tear down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 is a verse that I memorized, I bet, 40 years ago, and I've tried to keep it in my mind, because, you know, if you memorize something and then you don't review it, if you don't keep looking at it, you lose it. And there was a group of guys that I was studying with in a discipleship setting probably 40 years ago, and this was one of our memory verses. "Let no unwholesome word proceed forth from your mouth, but only those words that are good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." I wish I could say that I've always practiced that verse. I have not. My marriage would be better if I had always practiced that verse through the years. My kids would have benefited more had I always practiced that verse. No unwholesome words. The New Living Translation says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Encouraging words can last a lifetime. I want you to think about that for a moment. Encouraging words can last a lifetime. I was thinking back to some times that people have spoken words of encouragement to me, and my mind drifted back again to almost 40 years ago. I was already married to Cindy and was serving at the Tyro Christian Church as their associate minister. I was upstairs, and I remember this as if it happened yesterday. I was upstairs in their gymnasium. It was kind of a facility like what we have. It was a Sunday morning, and Bobby Pomeranke was standing up above, leaning against the railing. He was looking down onto the gym floor as people were milling around, and he called me over to stand beside him. And Bobby was just a little guy. I bet he was about 5'5". And as I stood beside him, he put his arm up around my shoulders, and he said, "I was just looking down there at your wife and wondering if you and her know how much the people here at this church love you." And folks, that was almost 40 years ago, and I still remember those words as if they were yesterday. And I don't know how many times I have replayed those words from Bobby through the years in my mind. And every time I think about that, it encourages me. My point is this: when you speak encouraging words to someone, it helps them right there on the spot, but it can make a difference in their lives for years to come. Your words of encouragement are like a lavishing of God's grace over their years or over their lives. I have a card that has sat on my desk for a little over 3 years. I prop it open, it just sets like that. And every once in a while, I'll pick this card up and read it because it encourages me. Many of you will remember Jim and Stephanie Spruill. Jim was the very first convert to Jesus in my new ministry here at Reinhardt. I had studied with him for several weeks, teaching him about Jesus. And I baptized him. He was happy. I was happy. Stephanie was happy. And Jim and I had hit it off as pretty good friends. He and Stephanie joined a small group that Cindy and I led on Sunday nights. They were in our small group for 3 years. We spent a lot of time together for those 3 years and studying together, eating together, talking and laughing. And I was really sad when I got the news that they were moving to Florida. Away they went, but it wasn't too long that they had been gone. I received this card in the mail, handwritten from Jim. If I could just read it to you. He said, "Kevin, just wanted to take a minute and thank you for all that you have done for us, and more specifically, for me." He said, I truly am a better man, and I feel great knowing that my walk with Jesus has finally begun. I wish it would have started earlier, and it may not have started at all without your guidance, support, and reaching out to me. And for that, I am eternally grateful." And I'm not reading that to call attention to myself. I'm reading that to you just to say, do you know how much that means to me? Enough that I have kept that card for 3 years on my desk, and every once in a while I read it because it just does my heart good, and it reminds me of what is important. That I need to be reaching out to people and showing them Jesus and telling them about Jesus, because it can make a difference in their life. And my encouragement to you is to speak words such as that to others, because it will mean so much to them. When they have done something for you, when they have meant something to you, tell them about it. It was at this point in my sermon prep that I just stepped away from the computer, from my desk for a while, and I read some cards and letters that have been written to me through the years by my wife and by my kids. I have those letters accessible for me to see and read periodically. This is the decor in my office. As through the years I've received special notes from those that I love, I scotch tape on my file cabinet that special note, on the door, on the cabinet. And you say, why do you do that? It's because those words encourage me. They have a way of pouring God's grace all over me. And I usually cry when I read them, and I did again this last week. I want you to speak words of encouragement to people who are around you. Would you write words of encouragement to people that have meant something to you? Your words might lift up their spirit for the next 40 years. And certainly God would be glorified through that. According to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. You can speak life into somebody's spirit, or you can speak death into their spirit. The choice is up to you. The person who came up with the little nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me," that person was in La La Land when they wrote, when they said that. Because you know, words make a difference for the good or for the bad. They can lift you up or they can tear you down, and it's not just for a day. If they are really pointed words one way or the other, you will remember them for years. And so, choose your words wisely. And let the Holy Spirit transform your thinking so that the words that come out of your mouth will be encouraging words rather than destructive words. Let me remind you of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Let me give to you a second point. We've asked this question, what if that verse, what if we began to apply that to our life, what would it look like? Well, not only words of encouragement, but words of praise and thanksgiving rather than words of grumbling. Maybe you remember the words of Jesus in John 6:43. He said, "Do not grumble among yourselves." And then Paul's words in Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing or arguing," some of your Bibles would say. If we are not careful, we can do more grumbling than praising and thanks and giving of thanks. And certainly that was true of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They had so much that they could have given thanks to God for. He rescued them from their bondage in Egypt. And he then also rescued them from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. He fed them manna every day in the wilderness, and He gave them water to drink. He fought their battles for them against their enemies. You recall, as the Assyrian army came against them, there were 185,000 soldiers in that army, and Israel had no way that they were going to rise up and fight that many soldiers against them. They were doomed for failure. They were doomed for destruction. And as they slept in their warm beds at night, an angel of the Lord came and destroyed 185,000 soldiers. They didn't even have to lift a sword. They had so much that they could have given thanks for, and they could have just filled the heavens with their praises, but instead they filled the heavens with their grumbling. Psalm 78 verse 11 says, "They forgot His deeds." Speaking of God's deeds, they forgot His deeds and His miracles that He had shown them. And there's a truth there that we need to grab a hold of. When we forget God's goodness and grace to us, then we tend to become grumblers. And there's a lot we could grumble about, yeah. I mean, all we have to do is just look around and open our eyes, and there's a whole lot going on in this world that we can grumble about, but it's not God's way. God doesn't want us to be grumblers. He wants us to be people of thanksgiving. He wants us to be people of praise. Let me read to you from Dr. Jeremiah's book. This is a book that we've recently studied on Monday afternoons. And as I've made my way through this book, there's all kinds of stories that are worth sharing. And this is one of them. Beth Logans has been through a lot. She's a 48-year-old wife, mother, and grandmother who was diagnosed in 2018 with leukemia, acute leukemia, a fast-spreading form of blood cancer. The news came as a terrible shock, and she started chemotherapy treatment. At one point, the drugs sent her into liver failure, and the doctors told her that she had only a 15% chance of surviving. And then came a bone marrow transplant, which involved many long trips to a hospital in Detroit. But now she calls herself a survivor. What's truly incredible is her attitude. She told her local newspaper, "I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that God brought me through this, and I'm thankful to the Lord Jesus for His comfort and His calming of my fears. I'm thankful to Him for the time that He has extended to me. I'm thankful for my family and the people I have met because of my illness, the doctors, nurses, fellow patients and their families. I am thankful for the prayers of the people from many churches, people I don't even know." She described her frustrations and her determination to avoid anger and bitterness, to let God renew her by the transforming of her thoughts. She said, I do know my leukemia did not happen by random chance. And with that realization, I set a goal for myself to walk this path that God has chosen for me, and to bring Him honor and glory by whether I lived or died. That was my heart's desire. She also said this, "I determined to choose joy." I'd say to anybody in a similar situation, choose joy. And we do have a choice in our lives. We can choose to give thanks to God. We can choose to give praise to Him, or we can choose to be a grumbler. And if you go back to Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be His representative to the world." Because certainly the world is watching, and they're listening to our words. They're watching for our actions. Let me give to you a third point here. As we think about this verse, you know, what's it look like in our life? We talked point one and point two about words. Let me talk to you for a moment about deeds. Deeds of love and service, all to His glory. Instead of becoming consumed with ourselves, we do deeds of love and service for other people. When you take food to someone who's sick, you're doing a deed that is to His glory. If you show up on a Wednesday night to help with our VBS decorations, that's a deed to His glory. You volunteer to help with Vacation Bible School that's coming up, that's a deed to His glory. I want to encourage you to be a doer of good deeds. Be a servant, all in the name of Jesus. And have your eyes open and your ears open. He'll show you. He'll show you what you should do, what you can do. As I was preparing this, on this particular point in the sermon, I thought of our own Austin King. I don't know if Austin's here today. I have not seen him, but he had an inspiration from God as to what he could do to reach young people in the area for Jesus. I remember as a few years ago, we were doing a Bible study together, and the lesson, in fact, we were on a series of lessons that had to do with giving service to God, using your gifts and using your talents for the Lord. And Austin was sitting there, and we were dialoguing, the group of guys together were dialoguing, and he's saying, I don't, what can I do? I challenged him to think about it. And the lesson that we were studying, particularly said, likely you're going to find things to do for Jesus in the area of your interest, in the area of your talents. And so Austin took that seriously, and he went home, and he began to think, and he began to pray. And of course, Austin is interested in hunting. He's interested in the outdoors. He loves the outdoors. And thus was born these youth hunts over the last 3 years, these pheasant hunts. Those are in the areas of his interest. And he's saying, okay, how can I use hunting as an avenue and through which I can touch people for Jesus? And he's interested in young people. He loves young people. He knows young people need Jesus. And so these pheasant hunts were born in his mind, and they became a reality over these last 3 years, and more recently, Faith and Feathers. And now there's a group of guys that have joined hands with Austin, and their whole focus is simply this: how can we reach people for Jesus through the outdoors and through hunting? You remember back in the month of December, Austin had come up with another idea. If you know one thing Austin has figured out, if you really want to be used by God and you seek Him, Lord, how can you use me? He's going to direct you. And he came up with this idea: I'm going to offer 4 Sunday hunts. Each hunt, I will give a free duck hunt to 5 guys. But the deal is, we go early on a Sunday morning and we eat breakfast together. I'll feed them breakfast. I'll give them a free duck hunt, but you got to go to church with me. And he put that out on the internet, and I mean that fast. He had 20 guys wanting a free duck hunt, but they knew they had to come to church with him on Sunday morning. And one of those guys has come to church several times, and we've been studying with him about Jesus. And the plan is, next Sunday, Austin's going to baptize him into Jesus. I want you to pray for Hunter. His name is Hunter. Because I think Satan is on the warpath. He doesn't want that to happen. He's going to try and keep it from happening next Sunday. I would imagine he'll throw a wrench some way into Hunter's path. I want you to pray for Hunter. In fact, let's pause right now. Would you pray just a silent prayer? God, help Hunter follow through and to surrender and to stay true and to grow. Amen. Let me tell you about another situation. As we're thinking about deeds of love and service, all to his glory. And I read about a lady who was looking out her window at home. She began to notice all of these kids playing in the street in front of her house. They're riding their bikes. They're doing what kids do. And she began to wonder how she could share Jesus with those kids. And she came up with an idea of a kids' Bible class on Saturday mornings in her home, where they would not only have a Bible lesson, but she could cook breakfast for them. Some of these kids were from poor homes. She knew that. And she would cook breakfast for them. She would make sure they had something good to eat. And she said, Lord, if you want me to do this, send me 5 kids. That was her prayer. And she put the word out. I don't know how she got the word out. She put the word out. She did not get 5 kids. She got 8 kids. And then she had 30 kids. For 9 years, she has been doing this. 3 Saturday mornings a month, having 30 kids into her home, and she cooks breakfast for them, and they have a Bible lesson, and they sing. It almost sounds like a one morning VBS, 3 mornings a month. They sing songs of worship. She has these kids memorizing verses and learning Bible lessons and learning about Jesus. And only eternity will reveal the results of her ministry. And you say, I don't know. I don't know that I could do that. Well, I bet there's something you could do. I bet there's something you could do that's within your area of talent and interest. If you would go into that prayer closet and seek Him and what He wants you to do. And you know He's not going to call you to do something that He won't give you the power to do it. He will equip you with His Holy Spirit and His resurrection power to get the job done. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that you ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within you." His power is enough for whatever challenge He might give you. If you're a little league coach of a baseball team or a softball team this summer, do it as His representative. If you're working with the 4-H group this summer, do it as His representative. And this is one thing that I will give praise to God for about my wife, Cindy. She can go to Dollar Tree or she can go to Dollar General in Fort Scott, and she's on a mission as she goes. And it's not for whatever it is that she's going there to buy, a card or some dollar trinket. She is on a mission every time that she goes to those stores because she intentionally meets those people who work there. God bless you for your boldness. And she's better at this than I am because she learns their names. And then she goes in the next time and she calls them by name. And she's learning about their family. And she's learning about those people. And she's placing value on those people. And she invites them to church. And we were shocked here recently. We had this big women's event a few Sunday nights ago, and I mean for weeks, she had been talking to ladies everywhere about coming. And one of those ladies at Dollar General in Fort Scott behind the cash register, she knows her by name, and she has conversation with her, and she invited her, and later, she didn't come. Cindy's in there the next time. And this gal says, "I came." "What?" She said, "I came. I drove over to your church and I sat in the parking lot for how long? 5, 10 minutes? I don't know how long she sat in the parking lot. And she said, "I got scared and I drove home." We're going to get her here. if we could all just kind of know that we are to be on a mission everywhere we go. We are to be a representative of Jesus to His glory and His honor. If all of us were doing that, I don't know what we'd do with all the people that would show up on a Sunday, but we'll figure it out. Because there's a whole lot of people out there in the world who need Jesus. And we are our brother's keeper. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to take this verse seriously. To be your representative, to be your ambassador, and to be all about Jesus. Because we know that souls are hanging in the balances. It's in His name we pray. Amen.